So last week we left the disciples as they were being sent out. They were heading out two by two to proclaim this message of salvation, to preach this gospel of life, to heal the sick, to cast out demons. And so this Sunday, did you notice the difference in the way that we describe the disciples now? They're now called apostles. This is the first time in the gospel that this name is used to describe this group. What are apostles but people who were sent? And so now that they have sent and they come back to share this gospel, to share this life, to be able to come back to Jesus and say, we did this, and then the people listened and the people were healed and the demons were cast out just as you said that they were. All of these things unfolded according to your instructions, and we have now been changed. And so they're no longer simply just disciples, people who follow the Lord, but they're also the ones who are sent, the ones who become these new bearers of the life, these people that bring the very gospel of the life into the ordinary experience of the people that they were able to share it with. And so Jesus, seeing how harried they are, how tired they are after doing his work, says, let's just go to another place, a place where we can be by ourselves. And the description is of this lonely place. In the Greek, it's an eremos topos, lonely place, this wild, empty land. It's exactly the same description that we have at the beginning of the gospel to describe where Jesus went to spend his 40 days out in the wilderness. So this whole sense of a place just completely away from it, and this emptiness and the void. But unfortunately, the crowds know where he's going, and they're able to guess, we're told. And so they all race in order to be able to arrive there to hear the teaching and the message of Jesus once again. And not just this little crowd, but crowds that begin to draw from the surrounding towns and villages to form this massive crowd of people. And we will hear next Sunday the story of the feeding of this multitude of people. But for whatever reason, the lectionary chooses to move from the Gospel of Mark. And next week, and then for the following 5 weeks, we go into the Gospel of John. But we'll get there next week. So this whole sense of this community that is formed of disciples becoming apostles, people who share this new life that only God is able to offer to us. And Jesus, looking at this crowd, he says, oh, he had compassion on them. He had mercy. He had pity upon them. He set about to teach them at some length. So whenever you hear a priest going on and on too long, know that at the heart it's a person who has mercy and compassion on you, wanting to set about to teach you and to form you, because that is also at the heart of this new experience of God's grace and life. This whole sense of the shepherd, this whole sense of this community that is being formed and fashioned by someone who has a heart like unto God, we see again and again in the Old Testament. When the people of Israel were set free from their slavery in Egypt, when they made their way into eventually the promised land, into this new experience, first God established over them the sense of the judges, these people who would go and spend time with the Lord in prayer and be able to understand the will of God and then go share that with his people, just as Moses had done. Moses would go up there on the mountain and spend time in prayer and in communion with the Lord. He would be formed and shaped and fashioned by that interaction. And then he'd go back and to share these new words and these new insights, these new rules and commandments, these new ways of living, the way that God has invited this people to be. He would share and teach that to the people. And that's what God originally intended for us, that we would be formed and fashioned by spending time with him, and that then we would share that. This whole sense that God himself would be the king, God himself would be the leader, and that we, as the bearers of that message, would be able to share and proclaim that into the lives of the people that God has appointed to us. But of course, at a time in Israel's history, they said, no, we don't want just judges to be our rulers. We want this new sense of leadership. We want kings, because when we look around, all the other nations, all the other peoples have also got kings. And so that's always a bad sign when the people of God start looking around at what other people are doing and saying, we want to be just like them. You read the story as they go before the prophet Samuel. We read in 2 Samuel 8 that you get this whole sense of the beginning to be this unraveling of all these things as slowly the people begin to turn away from that original plan of God. So we have the king Saul is appointed, but Saul doesn't have a heart like unto God. And it's not until the next generation of kings chosen from a different tribe of the people of Israel that finally we get the great model of the kingship of King David, whose heart was truly fashioned and formed by the Lord. This whole desire to serve, this whole desire to be faithful to God is at the heart of this new experience. Paul today says in this small extract in chapter 2 of his letter to the Ephesians of this call to remind ourselves that there was a time when we were separate and alienated from God. And it wasn't just this people who were faithful to the Lord, who had been circumcised and had began to follow all of the teachings and commandments of the law. No, there was a sense that all of us were alienated from the Lord. But there was this whole sense that there was this people, the people of God, and there were all these barriers that were set up around the people of Israel, physical and according to the law. And so the people that were faithful to God had this whole sense that there were us and them. There were those who were able to go into the temple and to worship and those who were excluded. And so, for example, the Gentiles, those who weren't Jewish, were able to go only to the outer courts of the temple. And there were these inscriptions that surrounded all of the walls of the temple that basically said, if any Gentile wishes to go beyond this point, know that it is on your head when you will be killed, when you will die for moving beyond this boundary, moving beyond the outer wall. That was how stark this contrast was, that if you weren't Jewish, you were totally excluded from this possibility of salvation. But all of that begins to unravel. All of that begins to change in the message and teaching of Jesus. All of that begins to be reshaped and reformed. And so what Paul is offering to us here is that there were these two basic streams of life. You know, the very broad river and stream of the Gentile experience, all of those nations that surrounded this tiny little kingdom of Israel. And yet this people of Israel has become the major stream, even though it was this tiny little creek that kind of went into this broad stream of life. After those two unions, this new people that is formed is in fact the new reality of Israel. This new transformation that has happened is of this single people dedicated to the purpose of God. All of those barriers, all of those divisions are beginning to be torn down, removed, and destroyed, because God is fashioning this new people, this new humanity, out of these two broad streams of life and bringing us all together into one single reality. That's the way that we're meant to experience church. That's the way that we're meant to experience this new life with God, the sense that we're fashioned and formed into this new encounter and experience with God, created for peace, created for life, created to experience this mercy. Our call as a Christian people is to continue to pull down these barriers, to pull down these walls that separate one group of people from another. No longer to say, yes, we need to create bigger walls and to create bigger separations and to have even stronger distinctions. We should be fashioning and forming one single humanity and recognizing every single person around us as equally a brother and sister in Christ, able to experience this same call to mercy and life and grace, which is what Paul had said a few verses before in the same chapter in verses 8, 9, and 10. He calls us to remember that all of us were outside of God's grace, but now we have found this new experience of life and grace, not because of anything that we had done, but simply because of his power and he was at work in us. And so together we are to form this new people because of what God has done in Christ, because of the new life that he's offering to every one of us. And all of us are called to continue to work to build this new humanity, to build this new experience of God's life and love being available to all of us.